Hello, internets. Just before we get started, I'd just like to say that I had to re-record the entire beginning of this podcast. So, audio might sound a little bit weird, but hopefully everything is fine. Hopefully you can hear everything fine. And with that, here we go. Hello, internets, and welcome back to another week of JL Plays, the podcast with the host screaming into the ether, hoping someone will hear him. Where it can be found on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, or any place you listen to podcasts. And also on Patreon, where you get exclusives like ad-free episodes, early access to next week's episode, also minisodes, exclusive content for Patreon subscribers, and in the future, hopefully video episodes for my Patreon subscribers also. And speaking of exclusive episodes and exclusive content, I already have the first one up, and it's about Everything Everywhere All at Once, starring Michelle Yeoh in her most outstanding role so far. So, if you'd like to hear that, go sign up for the Patreon at patreon.com/JLPlay. Exclusive content. And also, don't forget that you can just reach me at twitter.com/JLPlay78 or by email at jlplayspodcast@gmail.com, where we can continue the conversation of this week or any other week, like, did I get anything wrong about my review? Or did you agree with me or disagree with me? You can let me know on those platforms and we'll see where the conversation leads. Hope to hear from you soon. And with that self-promotion out the way, what will I be talking about this week? Well, this week I will be talking about The Man Who Fell to Earth, streaming on Showtime, an animated series, Spy X Family, and keeping in the animation field, Love, Death Plus Robots, Season 3. But first, what I have been watching and some news. And first up is great news for Everything Everywhere All at Once. This, as of recording, it has made 52.1 million, I believe, in box office revenue domestic. That's here in the US only, not counting worldwide. And A21 should be ecstatic with this news, considering other movies were pretty much barely making profit. Their highest grossing film to date was Uncut Gems with 50 million, and this movie just beat it. And it's a shame because they did not promote it as good as they did with Uncut Gems. So imagine how much more money this movie would have made if they gave it a proper promotional send-off. Wow, what a waste. And with that, what I have been watching news. Well, what I've been watching is the Chippendales Rescue Rangers movie. And quite frankly, I definitely thought it was better than what it was supposed to be. I wasn't expecting much from this film, but definitely worth the time. It's great nostalgia berries if you're my age or around my age. And your kids will like it also. They did it in the style of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where everyone is a lived-in world with humans and animations. It's that type of universe, but it's definitely a lot better than I expected it to be. And also, one more is, I just watched the entire series of The Genius Prince's Guide to Raising a Nation Out of Debt. This is a quirky animated series where it's a prince just constantly trying to, you know, get his nation into good standings with the rest of the other countries, so he can sell it off and not worry about it, just to get it out of debt. But the problem is he's a genius, and he's constantly getting put into these weird situations where everything just happens to work out for him. He has a great plan for everything to begin with, but there are little circumstances that pop in every single time that make take his plan to the next level, to make it even more like, oh wow. It is extremely funny and witty and fun to watch animation. Definitely worth your time if you want something to laugh at. And also, you can watch that whole series on Funimation. And it's dubbed in English for you, so you don't have to worry about reading subtitles if you're not into reading subtitles. And the dubbing is really good. It's really good dubbing. And with that out the way, let's move on to the first topic. And that being the man who fell to Earth.
How did we get here? To this place. This moment.
I'm talking to someone from another planet.
So am I. My mission is your mission.
I think it's the reason you were sent to find me.
You have the chance to change the future.
And that was the trailer for The Man Who Fell to Earth, starring Chiwetel Ejiofor, Naomi Harris, Bill Nye, Jimmy Simpson, and Sonia Cassidy, just to name some of this cast. A quick synopsis for this is, an alien arrives on Earth with a mission to learn and to become human, and find the one woman who can help save his species. Together, they discover that in order to save his world, they must first save ours. And yes, that's exactly what this series is all about. It's about him trying to find what he needs and get the help from this woman to do what he needs to get done. By the way, it's a cold fusion generator that he's making and he bring to Earth. And the main thing that he needs for this is water. His planet no longer has water, but Earth has plenty of it. So thus, that's what he wants. So, and also, Thomas Newton, played by Bill Nye, who left him instructions and information on how to build this. And yeah, because he comes to Earth with a prototype of cold fusion, but it's a prototype and it needs to be finished. And Bill Nye's character is the only one that knows how to finish it and how to complete it, which this Apple-like company holds the patents to all of his creations that he built here on Earth. And with those patents, at least the 10th patent out of 10, because the 10th one is a secret, and because no one's been able to finish it, at least no human has been able to finish it, holds the information that he needs. So he meets the girl played by Naomi Harris, who herself is a disgraced scientist because she did something that was not legal or ethical for her to do, and thus she ended up losing her job and everything involved with the science community. She was just disgraced. And because of that, she works part-time job, off the books jobs, just trying to buy medicine and keep the lights on. The medicine is for her father because her father suffers from this crippling. So before I go any further, let me just stop here and say that this series is wonderful. It is brilliant. It is heart-wrenching at times, but it is an interesting series overall. It isn't, you know, very dark. It tries to weave all this information and, you know, secrecy and government cover-ups and whatnot. But honestly, it feels like all that stuff wasn't really, let's say, thought through properly. So it feels a bit hollow. The government agent sent to stop him or grab him or whatever feels hollow. His character in general feels hollow. His whole work feels hollow. Hopefully that changes, but it really hasn't changed in 3 episodes. So yes, personally, I think that overall the story is fine when it comes to the actual thing we're talking about, which is the alien and Naomi Harris's character. Their mission, their what they have to do, all that is well thought out. Everything seems to be working fine. However, when it comes to the whole government stepping in and covering up, all that just feels hollow. Like, they just needed a bad guy, and they decided to do, hey, we'll throw this in. This is cliche, but screw it. We'll throw that in. But overall, it's an enjoyable series so far, and I give it a thumbs up. So right now, I'm going to talk a little bit in spoilers. So here we go.
Well, it does have...
Yeah, spoilers!
We're in spoilers, and like I was saying, that he is trying to build this device. Naomi's father is very ill with this disease. And Faraday, which is the character played by Chiwetel. Sorry if I mispronounced that name. That name is really hard to pronounce. Chiwetel. So I'll just call him by his character name, Faraday. So Faraday is an alien. He's constantly has to drink water just to keep hydrated. Of course, he also has powers. And of course, he sees that her father's sick, but he needs her help. So he has these powers. So he ends up going to her father, touching him. He lights up or whatever. Things happen. And then all of a sudden, the father's cured. And the disease or whatever is transferred to Faraday. Faraday then gets put into water. And then the disease ends up leaving him, like this black goo that just ends up, you know, floating up into the air and evaporating out and being gone. And now the father's completely healed. He can stay behind, take care of her daughter. Then they go off to London to do this whole, you know, presentation to this company that holds the patent to Thomas Newton's final patent. They hold that patent, so they have to get it. Thus, they have to do this whole little, you know, presentation to show them that they have this thing that they want. And yeah, by the end of episode three, he is about to get the patent, but something happens. They have a problem. They don't agree with things. And then all of a sudden, here comes the secret agent or the CIA agent, whoever it is. And he comes in, steps in, and says, you're gonna take him. You're gonna agree to this no matter what. So thus they agree. They become buddy buddy. And pretty much that's how the episode ends, with Faraday meeting the Jimmy Simpson's character, Spencer Clay. Again, like I said, this series is very unique in its way it's doing things. Again, the CIA agent and all that stuff feels hollow. It feels like, again, it just feels like forced conflict in this series about hope and, you know, and triumph and moving science and the world along, right? And also, the reason that these patents are hidden is because they could bring the world into non-reliance on fossil fuels. Remember, he's building a cold fusion energy orb. If this happens, we no longer need to rely on fossil fuels. We don't need to rely on gasoline, coal, even solar. We don't need to rely on. And all these industries, of course, with this, will be gone. That means thousands and millions of jobs gone. But you know what I say to that? So what? Yes, it sucks. It would suck for the few years that this would, you know, kill these industries. But freak these industries. We have cold fusion. We could continue and develop new ways to have jobs. These people can learn new trades. It's nothing that isn't fixable, especially if you're going to have the government step in and say, okay, we got cold fusion and all these jobs are going to be gone. Well, don't worry. We'll take care of you. We'll help you. We'll place you in new jobs. We'll place you. We'll give you training for these new jobs and everything. So don't worry about that. Because that would be the proper way to do it. Of course, obviously, because that would be the proper way to do it. You know, that's not what's really going to happen. Oh my God. I just realized I'm getting too political in this whole thing. But yeah, that question is brought up. It is stated on what would happen if this becomes a reality. But yes, so again, this is a great series. I believe everybody should be watching it. The Man Who Fell to Earth is on Showtime right now, streaming. And you can watch it on Amazon Prime if you have a Showtime subscription through them. And with that, don't forget that if you agree with me or disagree with me, let me know on Twitter, JLPlays78, or by email, JLPlaysPodcast@gmail.com. And also, don't forget to check out my Patreon at patreon.com/JLPlays, where I give you commercial-free episodes and also early access to next week's episode. And on top of that, you get bonus episodes. That's where you're going to find my mini-sodes from now on, where I do an episode on just one single topic. And with that, let's move on to the next topic, which is Spy X Family.
Everyone has a secret side to them, one they don't show to anyone else. Not to their friends, their lovers, or even their own flesh and blood. Hiding their true feelings behind a mask of smiles and bravado, and keeping their real selves a mystery. This is how civilization is able to maintain its thin veneer of peace and stability.
I want to welcome you to Anya's house!
Anya's house is home to a rather unusual family. The father, Lloyd Forger, is a psychiatrist. His true identity, Spy. Codename, Twilight. The mother, your Forger, is a civil servant at City Hall. Her true identity? Assassin. Codename, Thorn Princess. The daughter, Anya Forger. Her true identity? Telepath.
That was a quick clip of Spy X Family, now streaming on Hulu, starring the voice talent of Hana Sato, Megan Shipman, Alex Organ, Natalie Van Sisten, Takuya Eguchi, and Saroi Hayami, just to name some of this amazing voice talents that are this series. Now, a quick synopsis for this series is, Master Spy Twilight is the best at what he does when it comes to going undercover on dangerous missions in the name of a better world. But when he receives the ultimate impossible assignment, get married and have a kid, he may finally be over his head. And from what you heard from the clip, you already know that Twilight, Yor and Anya, so Twilight finally gets this mission. He freaks out because he only has weeks to get a 6-year-old child and get married. And unfortunately for him, the persons that he picks just happen to be a telepathic girl and undercover assassin that he doesn't know. It's an undercover assassin. And this series is just a comedy. It's a lighthearted comedy with a few serious moments here and there. But more than anything, it's really a comedy about them three and them having to work together. The kid can literally read both of their minds. And they don't know. And so thus, she's trying to, you know, every time either one of them is trying to convince the other or trying to, you know, make sense of what's going on, she automatically steps in and helps them work it out together or, you know, fix things in some way, somehow, you know. It is just a fun series. I truly enjoyed myself watching this series. It is still going. I'm only on episode like 4 or 5, and so far so good. Yes, you can watch it dubbed. That's how I'm watching it dubbed, and the voice actors are great. Don't skip out on this, and so much fun. So I will talk a little bit of spoilers, nothing serious. For example, there's a scene where they're finally getting into the school that they need to get into and infiltrate, because that's the reason he needs the little girl, is to get into this school to infiltrate, to get access to this specific person in the school. So the whole time they're walking into the school premises, they are already being tested. they're already being looked at. All the parents are being looked at, see how they act in certain situations. And there's a part where they save a little boy. Trust me, this isn't really any major spoilers. This is just little thing here that he is making believe that he's stuck inside this drainage. So what they're supposed to do is just skip him and keep moving forward. But what they do is help the little boy. He intentionally gets himself and his family dirty. And he goes, ah, good thing we bring a change of clothes. And they change clothes. And the school head just freaks out like, what? You thought this was going to happen? Like, they're all freaking out, you know, watching them from above. And it is just very, very, it was just a very, very funny scene because it just over the top comedy. Then right after that, there's all of a sudden there's a stampede and they think it's part of the test, but it's really not. It's an actual stampede. For whatever reason, they actually happened and it came through the school. But yeah, this series is very funny. It's very out there. It is also cute, adorable, just because of the little girl, right? She makes everything a little bit more funny. Anya just really makes everything a little bit adorable, just because how she's trying to, you know, stay with them and everything like that. There's even a episode where they dedicate to Anya because she graduated and passed the test and got accepted to a school. He has to get his entire spy crew to this island and start role-playing this character from this anime that Anya likes to watch on TV. And yeah, it's just insane. Not to mention all the times that Yor breaks character and she just all of a sudden done some crazy stuff and then she just snaps out of it like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be normal. I can't be doing this. It's just brilliant. It is just funny, brilliant stuff here. It's very sweet. And again, definitely worth a watch. With that rambling I done for you, I think that's enough. So with that, just go and watch Spy X Family on Hulu. And with that, let's move on to the main event, which is Love, Death, and Robots. Or Plus Robots on Netflix.
I am in no mood to repeat myself. I am the only one who can keep this ship on a straight keel. You need me intact.
Voyaging through strange eons of thought. I'm trying to communicate.
What the fuck is that?
We're soldiers, not fucking archaeologists.
The Swarm is a perfect organic system. We bring order to the chaos of human expansion.
What is that?
Evolution is forcing the animal kingdom to adapt, etc., etc.
What exactly is a tech millionaire?
It's a lot like a regular millionaire, but with a hoodie and crippling social anxiety.
They were mean to robots and then robots killed them.
That was a quick trailer for Love, Death, and Robots streaming on Netflix Season 3. Love, Death, and Robots is pretty much a bunch of short stories told in animation form, all used with 3D graphics engines, told in beautiful, beautiful imagery. The first episode for Season 3 was a returning skit throughout the series, which was the three robots that are just going around, you know, visiting different parts of the world and just exploring what happened to humanity and them cracking jokes. You know, it's very funny. And it starts off with something silly like that and thought-provoking, but it ends with this amazing, I do mean amazing, CG render of this just dark, gritty night and this water spirit monster type of thing. I don't know what she is, where she's dancing fluidly. Now, I don't know how they did this one. I don't know if they used like real people to capture this and then put it into the computer, or this was shot with Chantali in, you know, real, and then they put CG over it, or all this is just CG. But I don't know how they did it, but it is amazing. It is ridiculously good and beautiful. And every season has at least one or two that are just freaking photorealistic at times, or even throughout the whole thing. And it just boggles my mind that we have that tech. But when you look at Marvel or studios and their stupid light shows that they like to put on, and how cartoony the characters and how bad some of the CG looks, you'd be like, why? Like, you look at a lot of these CG renders, and you go back and you look at a Marvel and some of their CG renders, you'd be like, why? Why does it look like shit and this looks like amazing photoreal? Well, it's because they have the time, while Marvel doesn't give you the time. Give the programmers the time to actually make it as good as possible. Everything is done last to the last minute, so nothing looks as good as it should look, or as good as it could look. And Love, Death plus Robots is one of those that shows you what happens when you let artists do their work, when you let the work speak for itself, when you let the artists take the time that they need to make the work as good as possible. And that's what you get with Love, Death and plus Robots. And yeah. And here's a clip for that first episode. I think y'all like it.
The Seasteaders also made one other large tactical error. The people who built the Seasteads were mostly tech millionaires.
What exactly is a tech millionaire?
It's a lot like a regular millionaire, but with a hoodie and crippling social anxiety.
That wasn't helpful at all.
Just like a tech millionaire.
These humans thought technology would save them, so they left behind any humans with the practical skills to run the place. Instead, they trusted everything to automated assistants.
Oh my god. This is where the robot uprising began. The very cradle of our mighty civilization.
So if these tech millionaires had been just a little more socially inclusive, they might have survived?
No, they didn't have a chance.
They were mean to robots, and then robots killed them.
So yes, that was just a quick clip for the series of those robots. It's freaking funny. It is just insane on how poignant those jokes are and how relevant they are to today's society and how people act in general. It's truly insane and wonderful. And this series touches on so many different aspects of human nature and human society in general that it's definitely one of the most worthwhile series out there. Each episode is about anywhere from 7 minutes to 18 minutes, the longest. It is about 9 episodes, I think, total. Yeah, and definitely well worth it. For instance, another example of this from another episode is the part where I guess we finally have first contact with another alien species, and now we ask them to take us to this place called the Swarm, which is the name of the episode. And now there's two humans there. The new one that came in, he is talking to the girl there, or to the woman there, and he's convinced her to help him get one of those alien bugs that are swarms, pretty much like a giant ant colony, but in space. So he wants to take one of the eggs and bring it back to Earth so he can train it to become pretty much a slave for Earthlings. And, you know, time passes and they start doing this plan. Does it succeed? Doesn't it succeed? You will have to find out for yourself by watching it. And yeah, I definitely did enjoy this series. This is, again, wonderful. I truly hope they come back for another season and more seasons, because all these stories are told by different directors, different writers, different animators, and they're all beautiful stories. None of them really link to each other except for the robot one that I played for you. Those are continuous through all three seasons, and they're only about 7 minutes long. But they're funny. They're, you know, little lightheartedness, because a lot of the stuff here is very dark and moody. So I guess they wanted to give something that's a little bit lighthearted, which is refreshing. And with that, check out Love, Death Plus Robots on Netflix. And don't forget that you can reach me on Twitter, jailplay78, and by email, jailplayspodcast@gmail.com. You can find links for it in the show notes. And you can find links for my Patreon in the show notes at patreon.com/jailplays. And for everything else that I talked about in this episode, just enjoy yourselves. Thank you for staying this long. If you're new here, thank you. Consider joining the Patreon. And hopefully I hope to see you there or on Twitter or by email or even come back next week. And whether you are Patreon supporter or not, thank you for continuing to listen to this episode. I truly do appreciate it. And remember, leave the world a little bit better than how you found it.